Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Not Your Cable News with your host, me, Diamond Dave. Tonight's episode is the long and awaited for sports page. And with me tonight, I have the lovely Dr. Nikki Lee. I know you're not a doctor. Got to do it all the time, right? That's who you are, and that's who you'll always be. Nobody will ever figure it out. I'm sure you're in incognito or something like that. And we've got a lot to talk about tonight. There's a lot going on in the sports world, especially for first of the year, and it's been a long time since I did one of these, but we're not going to go back to the you know, the whole NCAA championship and how Kentucky got their ass kicked and what kind of season they're having, because we're not going to talk about basketball tonight. It's going to be all probably most of it about football. Before I get into that, though, I want to give a little preview to the next episode, which will be an After Dark episode. So we're going to have a little quick conversation about something. And as some of you may or may not have figured out by now, I'm pretty open-minded in the whole world of the bedroom, and what you do is what you do, and I really don't care. But I saw a thing on my not-so-favorite social media platform the other day. It was just a meme, but it was something that had been screenshotted from I don't know where, whether it was Reddit or something like that. But this girl dressed up like a cat. Now, I'm okay with whatever you want to do, but in the description of this this girl threw out there was she was looking for a man that had a dog that because she dressed like an animal, I guess, you know, you can identify as whatever you want to identify as today, and so she identified as a cat, and she wanted somebody to fuck her like a dog. And then to fuck his dog, and in the description said she had been with 7 dogs in the last year and 1 guy. So,
no.
So just so all of you are aware, in the United States, if you're listening to me in the United States, bestiality is highly illegal in the United States. It is considered animal abuse. But hey, whatever you're into, you're into. More to come on that on the next episode. Just want to give a little teaser out there. If you can tease, you know, that's all kinds of doggy style there, I guess. I don't know. But
oh my gosh. No.
Well, you know, the only saving grace and all that is at least she didn't say she wanted a cat, because, you know, not that I've ever checked out the cat's package, but they ain't got a whole lot going on there.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she was asking for an intact male dog and an intact male human. She wanted to have puppies before she did babies. Anyway, there you go. Tune into the next episode. Tell your friends. It'll be a whole lot of fun. I've had a whole lot of almost a year to think about the things I want to talk about on the next After Dark episode. But moving right along, I've wasted 3 minutes of our time talking about the girl that wants to fuck a dog. So the big headline this week is Damar Hamlin. And I know, Nikki, you don't watch a lot of NFL football, but I did message you the other night when it happened, and I know you jumped all over it, and you were as concerned as the rest of the world, and it didn't look good on the field, right? It was a very precarious situation. You called it right away, what the rest of the medical world started calling it later in the week. And I don't know, I don't know the scientific term for it, basically, and you can go into detail on it. Basically, he got hit at just the right amount, right time, right? That, in the heartbeat cycle that shut his heart off. Thankfully, he's making progress every day. Don't know if we'll ever see him back on the field. I don't know what his annual salary is. I was going to check that before the show, but I didn't.
So he made $186,000 sign-on bonus, and he makes $850,000 a year, but he is not vested, so he has no pension. So if he doesn't have, you know, the amount of time in, then he doesn't get paid if he doesn't play again.
So his fundraiser on GoFundMe for kids, underprivileged kids, several days ago, it was over $5 million. Now, put that into perspective. He's not even making $1 million a year.
He had made $30,000 for that until this happened. And after he got hurt and everyone started contributing, that's what's happened. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, if it's set up for the, for the foundation, I'm sure there's some tax liabilities there for him to take it out for himself. I'm sure the league is going to take good care of him. I would assume that the team, the league, will take good care of him as far as medical bills and things of that nature. But, this guy is $30,000 for the year, takes a hit, almost dies, or did die on the field, really. I mean, CPR for 7 or 9 minutes, and then they hit him with the AED and stuff him in the back of an ambulance, and away he went to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where he's doing fairly well. And again, you called it right away, and kudos to you, who does not necessarily practice emergency medicine, but kudos to you for knowing that and seeing it right up front, right?
Well, it's like I said, when it happened, it's one of those things that it's amazingly rare, and it's one of those things you read about in a book, but you never expect to see it in real life. You know it can happen, but it's so rare that it just doesn't. And so to see it on a football field is just amazingly rare.
Right.
Hope I never see it again.
I hope I never see it or experience it again. You don't see that in golf, do you?
Hopefully not. I mean, that's scary. That's scary, scary. Scary stuff.
All right, so moving on from that, the next big thing in the NFL is going to be the big coaching changes, right? So our friend up Michigan State, Mr. Harbaugh,
Michigan.
Or Michigan State, yeah.
No, just Michigan.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hairball. Has been invited.
It's Coach
Kaki for you. Yeah. Has been invited to interview with the Denver Broncos. In addition to Sean Payton, I don't know why you would find it necessary to interview anybody after Sean Payton, because I'm a huge fan of Sean Payton and what he did with the New Orleans Saints. Regardless of what you think of the bounty gate or whatever that's called, but he can play a little dirty, but he can also build a team, and right now that's exactly what Denver needs.
Well, they got to do something, because they've lost that locker room.
They've lost a lot of things. So I don't know that Mr. Hairball is the coach, but I don't know why. I guess you got to interview a couple qualified people, right?
Well, here's the thing. So Michigan, three seasons ago, Michigan had a really bad year, and they cut Harbaugh's salary by $5 million. They gave him a $5 million haircut and basically told him that either, you know, he got his shit together or they were going to fire him. And so the next season, they go they beat Ohio State, right? And they get into the playoff. Well, that's all well and good. But then in the offseason, he went on this exploration of the NFL and basically was going to leave to go to Minnesota. And Minnesota didn't take it.
Yeah, that was...
He thought it was a done deal, and it wasn't. And so he had to come back hat in hand to Michigan. He thought that he was, you know, all that in a bag of chips, and he's not. And so he had to come back. Well, they basically are screwed now, Michigan is, because Harbaugh doesn't want to fool with NIL and with the transfer portal and all that stuff, and he thinks he's better than college football. He wants to be an NFL coach. So I think he's gone. I don't know where he's going to go, but he's leaving Michigan. It's just a matter of where. If I'm Denver, I take Sean Payton. I don't take Harbaugh.
So,
because he's going to divide everybody anyway. He's a freak. But I'd take Payton in a heartbeat. But, you know, you can't say that Harbaugh's not a good coach. I mean, he did take San Francisco to the, you know, to the Super Bowl. So,
he did. Whatever. And you know, there's a, you know, the Rams are looking, they may be looking for a coach. He'll make a decision in the next few days, next few weeks, whatever, what direction he's going to go. The Colts could be looking for a coach. There's going to be 6 or 7 openings in the NFL here real quick. So
right. He's going to get a job. It's just a matter of where. But if I'm Denver, you need someone who can bring that locker room together, and you need someone who can figure out a scheme for Russell Wilson, because no, nothing's working there right now. I mean, that's a dumpster fire, and Denver sold their souls, so they've got to do something. And the only thing they can do right now is switch the coach, which, you know, they've already fired the coach, but, you know, is to hire a coach that can make, you know, a drastic, you know, improvement, because that's kind of, it's really sad what's happening to that franchise right now.
Well, and it's one of the premier franchises in NFL.
Exactly.
It's not the Raiders. It's what Raiders used to be, but it's not one of those low level organizations that you've got a couple years to build a team. You know, whoever comes into there is going to have to take the bull by the horns and run with it. You know, and that's, they're just going to have to put it together in the offseason. Unfortunately, you don't have any salary cap room to run with, because Russell Wilson ate every penny of that. You don't have any draft picks. It's all going to be based on trades and things of that nature to rebuild the team, and you're just going to have to deal with the talent that you have.
I think they have talent. I think that it has been utilized in the wrong way, and I also feel like that because of the way that they gave special treatment to Russell Wilson, that they lost the locker room. And so now they've got to get the locker room back. And the first thing they have to do is show that Russell Wilson is not above anybody else. He doesn't deserve his own office in the facility and 4 freaking parking spots in the parking lot when he's one human being. Right. I mean, what the hell is that about?
You can't even get one, and you're like the GM or whatever where you're at.
Shit. I just want to park, man. I just
want to live. You gotta share your parking place with the rentals underneath. Speaking of college football, so we had a championship game today.
And thank God the right team won.
The Jackrabbits and the Bison. I live in North Dakota, and if you've paid any attention at all, you've figured out that I'm not a fan of NDSU. I'm not even a fan of that whole conference. I'm not a fan of the people's attitude here in this state, thinking that they have an elite football program. They have a good football program for the conference that they're in. They don't have you can't compete with the SEC. You can't compete with the ACC. You can't even compete with the Big Ten. So, fortunately, maybe slapped a little bit of reality into everybody, and it was not a close game. You can't blame
her. It wasn't even close. Doubled them plus some, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah,
excellent work by the Jackrabbits.
and yeah, the Jackrabbits have had their sights on North Dakota for a long time, so hats off to them. Good job to them. Big game tomorrow night. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but you've got the defending champion Georgia Bulldogs and their elite SEC standing, And then you have TCU. The Horned.
What a story.
The 5-7 last year. Never ranked until after week five or six.
Five games, and they were beating the brakes off of people, and no one wanted to put them in even the top 25, and then finally got ranked, and they just would not lose. And, you know, overlooked, underappreciated, just in a team that, you know, you got Sonny Dykes, who came in for, you know, a legend that was, you know, coaching at TCU for about 100 years. That has a statue in the freaking parking lot, you know, or in the front of the stadium. They have a statue for their old coach. And, you know, he gets fired unceremoniously after, you know, his giving his heart and soul to the team. He goes to Texas as a consultant, you know, for Texas, and then for their defense. And then, you know, Sonny Dykes leaves SMU to come to TCU, and it's just been a fairy tale. I mean, and I really hope, I'd love to see them win. I think it would just be so wonderful. It'd be a wonderful way to end the season. No offense to Georgia, no offense to my boys from the SEC, but I'm ready for a little change there.
Well, you know, and every year we get into the conversation, you hear the conversation of, you know, it's always the same old team, same old this, same old that, all the freaking time. So it's,
well, hopefully that's going to change with the 12-team playoff. You know, that can't come soon enough. It just can't happen soon enough. I wish it was happening next season, so this, you know, instead of later on. But, you know, as soon as that 12-team playoff happens, we're going to see some changes, because there will be some teams that surprise these. You know, it's not going to be so important to have a preseason rank. That's the problem right now, is that the preseason rankings are basically how the teams are going to set up for the next season, and who's going to make it to the playoffs and who's not. And you have to really, really, really do something special, you know, such as TCU this season, to actually, you know, fix that. Yep. If Alabama had only lost one game, TCU wouldn't have been in the playoff.
Correct.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Right, because
and, I'm sorry that they wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't have mattered if they'd won the Big 12. Alabama would have been in the playoff, just because it's Alabama.
Right.
And that's not fair. That's not right. But it's true. And anybody that wants to say that it's not is lying, because they just about made it anyway. And everyone was upset because TCU got in as a 3, and I'm just happy for them. I just really hope that they play well tomorrow. I hope that they show up. I hope the team that played Michigan shows up, because they can beat Georgia.
That was and I paid no attention to TCU all year long. That was the first game of TCU's I'd watched all year, and I was really surprised. I thought, oh God, here we go, right? I didn't even know what TCU stood for till that game.
They're the Horned Frogs, baby. They're awesome. They're purple. They're the purple team. The purple Texas team, you know.
So what do you think? I think the Vegas line has and I double check. I think Georgia by 5 or something this morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see what the newest line states. Let's see. I will look. Dun, 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 dun. Right now, Georgia is a 12.5 point favorite. I was going to say I thought it was 13 the last I looked. It's 12.5.
I was way off. I don't know what I was looking at. I don't think the spread will be covered. I think that I think they'll play them tight. I think they'll play them close. I think it'll come down to a fourth quarter game.
And I do too. It's going to go one or two ways. It's either going to go a really tight back and forth game, or one team or the other is just going to blow the other one out.
Right.
You know, something crazy. I don't see it going to be a blowout, but, and I hope that it's not. I would really like to see a competitive, you know, national championship, but I really would love to see TCU pull off the miracle win. I will tell you, in the last few years,
I think this is the first time I saw any concern on Kirby Smart's face when he realized who they were playing. With the post game interviews of Kirby, he was,
he wasn't thrilled with their play against Ohio State.
No, they did not play well.
Their defense played horribly.
And so
Max Duggan, or Duggan, however you want to say his last name, Duggan.
Yep.
Max Duggan will tear up that secondary if given a chance, if they don't play better.
Well, I think TCU's going to come out and just play their game. I want to see
LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew. I want to see it for TCU that plays on the defense, that is a corner or safety or whatever he is.
Yeah.
I want to see him pick off Stetson Bennett about 4 or 5 times. That'd be freaking fantastic. I mean, I like this TCU team. I think that they're just kind of cool.
all the respect due to Kirby Smart, he's a great football coach, and you know, but he was he definitely had a little concern in his voice when he was asked about TCU. He's, I don't know nothing about him, and we're going
because he hasn't had a chance to watch it.
Yeah, you've had 2 weeks to watch film on TCU, and they're probably going to come out and play their game because you can only get so much from film. There's nobody that he can really call and go, what's it like to play them? Because they don't really play anybody.
They play everybody in the Big 12.
Right.
I mean,
again, if you had to put the Bison up a conference, they could go to the Big 12, Big 10.
I think that the Big 12 would be a better fit for them. But
basically saying that there's not a whole lot of competition out there for them, right? But they played their hearts out. They made it to the playoffs. They rocked it. They're right where they deserve to be. And I'm like you. I think it's gonna be TCU by 6 or less. If TCU has got a chance, they've got to keep Georgia close. You can't let Stetson Bennett run away with the game. You've got to just keep playing the defense you're playing, and use your offense, use your weapons, and they had a hell of an air game, and when they needed to wind down the clock, they were able to wear out the clock. And
I'm really impressed with Max Duggan's his arm strength is incredible. Just sitting, watching him pass and, out of the pocket, he's just fluid. It's like it's effortless for him. But he also can scramble. He can also, and make some throws. He's a hell of a quarterback. And I think that, honestly, I don't think Georgia's faced, well, against Ohio State, they had a really good. They faced a really, really good quarterback, probably the best quarterback they've seen all season. But this is going to be the second best quarterback they've faced all season.
Well, I think that TCU's quarterback absolutely played himself into a first round pick NFL contract in that game.
I think he was up there anyway.
And I wouldn't get into where you put him in the draft to actually see who's he's drafting against, but. I would have saw him early second round. I don't know if I would have put him in a first round, but I think he played himself into a first round pick, maybe a first top 10, quite honestly. And if they beat Georgia, he may go 2 or 3. Yeah.
The Chicago Bears got the first pick of the draft, so they don't need another quarterback, do they? They only got 4 or 5 that they've drafted over the last 4 years.
Chicago does not need a quarterback, but they may take a quarterback just to have some leverage. But he certainly could become a franchise quarterback, depending again how he adapts to the schemes in the NFL as opposed to college football. We all saw it with Carson Wentz, pretty solid Division one, you know, quarterback. He's probably done after this year. I don't know who else has signed him. He's failed in the last four teams, his first four teams. But he's made a few million dollars, and hometown boy here from Bismarck. So, it's just unfortunate that he was not at a good school that would have given him really what he needed to succeed in the NFL. I don't know that, again, the NDSU Bison prepped him well for the speed of the NFL. So, that's the week ahead. I don't know what else we got going on. We had two new head coaches in the SEC this year. Is it just the two, LSU and Florida? Neither one fared really well, but did okay for first year new
LSU
head coach.
Made it to the SEC championship, so I mean that's pretty good. Florida did better than I thought Florida would do. They made a bowl game, and I didn't expect them to actually do that. And so I think that that was a win. I don't think that there's a lot of time going to be given to anyone anymore. Because of the transfer portal, people are expected to win and win immediately. And, you know, and teams are showing that that is possible. And so, you know, just because you're new, you don't get 4 or 5 years now to, you know, turn a team around. You've got 2, 3 at the most, and then you're gone. So this is a make or break year for Billy Napier and his 600 staff coaching staff. You know, they've got to... Yeah. They got to get it together, or he will be looking for another job in the next couple of years.
Yeah. He reached out to me earlier this week saying they need an environmental engineer. So I turned it down.
I thought he did, not to you, but just in general.
No, not to me.
They can't have anybody else on that staff. There can't be. Oh my God, that's insane.
Billy Napier is a class act. He handles himself way better than his predecessor to the media. He doesn't point a lot of fingers. He takes a lot of responsibility for what happens on the field.
And he doesn't wear a Darth Vader mask to the post-game press conference.
Right. So, and I didn't even see a whole lot of Mr. Mullen on the... analytics shows, I guess. He was on earlier, so I don't know.
He does every Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, on Full Ride on ESPN College Sports Network on SiriusXM. He comes on Full Ride and does like a couple of hours with their hosts. And so I get to listen to the lovely Dan Mullen every week. And yeah. So I know he's doing that show.
Yeah, I have a hard time listening to anything he says, honestly, so, and putting any kind of weight into it. But yeah, whatever. So what do you think becomes of the Kentucky head football coach from here?
Head football or head basketball?
Head football. We may or may not have time to touch on basketball tonight, like I said in the beginning, but you know, there's a lot of couple of elite teams taking shots at him. And
he's staying where he is right now. I don't think he's going anywhere. Liam Cohen is leaving, you know, the whatever team and going back to Kentucky to be their offensive coordinator, so that will be good for everyone involved. And then hopefully we just got the transfer quarterback from NC State, Devin Leary, and you know he's a really good quarterback, and he's going to come in and hopefully, you know, we'll see some improvement on offense over what we had this season, and you know go from there.
Because Kentucky is known as a basketball school and not so much as a football school, it is nice to see them winning games. Other than when they beat Florida, but whatever.
Well, I like it when we beat Florida.
That's fucking bullshit.
I think it's freaking fantastic.
It's fucking bullshit. Tennessee, they had a good
run going.
And
I, can't stand Tennessee, but Hooker is a hell of a quarterback, and I'm sorry he got hurt, and so he couldn't finish out the season. But Hendon Hooker is a good quarterback.
Was this his last year? Or was he one more year?
No, that was his last year.
Or was it? All right. So yeah,
I think it was his fifth season.
Yeah, he probably played himself down to a third round if he goes.
Well, I don't think he played himself down. I think he just got hooked.
Well, right, he hurt himself down to a third round just because you don't get enough visibility, you know. And I know it gets a little dangerous, right? When you're good, you're good, but when you're hurt the last three games of the season, it's tough to say that. You got combines and scouting days and all that stuff.
Combine. I mean, he's not going to make it back by then. I mean, he had a pretty significant knee injury. He's going to be out probably until midsummer before he's going to be able to, do a lot. I mean, he'll be putting weight on it and stuff, but he's not going to be able to run full speed or, throw and all the stuff you need to do for a combine. He's not going to be ready for that.
and who he reminded me of was, it was one of my all-time favorite college flip to NFL quarterbacks was RG3. RG3. He had a lot of RG3 capability to him. Dante Culpepper is a whole different story, but
Dante. Well, I thought he was like one of your favorites.
He absolutely is, but only because I knew him on a personal basis in Florida.
Right, I know.
RG3, actually, I thought, when he was with the Washington football team, or Washington Commanders now.
I like watching him when he played at Baylor.
He showed a lot of heart, a lot of soul, had the bad injury, and just never came back from it.
Yeah,
never could come back from it. Just like Dante, same thing. But, Hooker, same way. Had a lot of running ability. His problem of being a mobile quarterback at any one of these levels today is the speed of the game is so fast and the hits are so hard that if you can keep yourself healthy for four seasons, five seasons, you're pushing your luck. You go to the NFL, and quite honestly, if you make it the first 4 years, 5 years in the NFL without getting a serious injury and able to continue on and sign that big contract, then probably during that big contract, you're going to find yourself hurt only because you run so much. And if we didn't learn anything from the dogfighting son of a bitch, that's the one thing we should have learned, is that mobile quarterbacks get taken out in a hurry and you're never the same once you suffer that knee injury. And that's kind of why I feel that Hooker kind of played himself out, however you want to a much lower, pick, if he gets picked in the draft at all. And we got a few months yet before the draft, but I don't see that he will go very high at all.
I think he'd make a really good backup. It'd be nice to see him get a few years behind, just as a backup.
Yeah, but, once you have that injury, you're always scared to get hurt. Or scared to get hit, I'm sorry. You're always a little scared to get hit. And, again, that's half of Carson Wentz's problem, is he's scared, right? And so he does stupid shit because he's scared. Every play is like he's playing for his life. And probably is, because he's playing for the next contract. Yeah. But these one-year deals are not going to make him rich. He's not going to be able to stick around. He's just going to fall off the planet and come back to Bismarck and work at Daddy's Bank and, be a teller or something. I don't know. But anyway. He'll be the guy at the drive-thru at the bank. Yeah.
Can you even imagine?
44, go! Anyway. Oh, yeah. What else is on your mind in sports?
I already told you. I'm trying to figure out who's going to be Kentucky's next coach, because that sure as shit doesn't need to be Calipari much longer.
Kentucky basketball leaves a lot to be desired. I did watch a game. Yeah, the first game I watched them this year was on Tuesday night. But they looked a little bit like the Kentucky team you expect to see, but they played to nobody. Last night they got beat by 30 against Alabama.
It was yesterday, but yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong morning. I was drunk all day. No, not really, but beat by 30 by Alabama. If you can't compete in the SEC in basketball, you're not going to make the big dance. If you do, you're going to be ranked so low that you probably don't deserve to be there anyway.
We're not making it to the NCAA tournament. I don't expect us to win 5 games in the SEC. I'm baffled with this team. This team was a top 4 preseason pick that was picked by multiple people, not me, but multiple people, to go to the Final Four and to actually win it all. And they went to the Bahamas on this, you know, summer tour and looked freaking fantastic. I mean, they were happy and shooting and running and gunning, and it was just beautiful to watch. It was beautiful basketball and made everyone excited. And now this team can't stick their thumb up their ass with a diagram and a map. I mean, it's scary. They have no offensive identity. Their defense sucks. They can't shoot. They you know, the National Player of the Year had 4 points and 5 rebounds yesterday. He averages a double-double. And I can't even explain to you the dysfunction on this team. And I don't, and it's getting worse. Every game gets worse and worse and worse. And the next few games we have coming up, we go to Tennessee to play, who is a national title contender. We have to play at Arkansas. We have to play, I can't even explain how scary the – and we play Kansas. Kansas right now is the number one team. People are looking at them as the team to beat for the championship.
Well, they were in there. They were
in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's no relief in sight, and I don't see how we're going to win any games if this doesn't change. And Calipari is so stubborn; he will not change his offensive or defensive philosophy. He will not do anything to adapt to the people that he has, and he wants to play this antiquated offense, and he refuses to play any zone defense. And we do not have Anthony Davis, and we don't have those teams. That's not the people that we have. And you can't depend on a once in a generation talent like Anthony Davis.
Right. Yep.
Every season. And you have to adapt. And he hasn't adapted. And I'm over it. I'm ready for a change.
No, because you
95% of the Big Blue Nation. I'm just over it.
So, because you've got a lot of returning players from last year.
Here's the thing. So, we have the most senior team that Calipari has ever had while he's at Kentucky. We went to the transfer portal and got some really good people. We had all these people coming back. Our point guard's a senior. You know, the National Player of the Year came back as a senior. You know, I mean, come on.
I haven't paid much attention. I don't know if you listened to my last episode or not, but you know everything I have going on in my life, and I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to football, or zero attention to basketball this year, really. How is my Gators doing? Are they still floundering around? Are we going to look for a coach or a new athletic director, like I said last year? Or how are we stacking in the basketball world?
Well, let's see. So Florida beat Georgia yesterday. They, as far as they're 8-7, so you know they're not great, but they're not, you know, the worst. Georgia's 11-4, so that was a good win. And you know, that's about what I know.
Yeah, that's about, we're right where we were last year. We're probably not going to make the dance. We're probably, of course, we're going to hang out until the very end on our coaches like we always do. You know, Calipari is still going to stick his little spies into your Big Blue Nation chat group that you're a member of. And I don't lie. I say that with some validity behind it. It's not all a joke, because I still believe that the one person last year was a Calipari spy. But
I don't
buy into conspiracy theories, but that is one of them that I would throw out there right now. You have somebody that sticks up for the coach that much when they're having a shit season, and it's got to be a spy. I don't think I have much else tonight. I've gone over my 30-minute time limit by about 10 minutes now, but we had a lot to talk about, and I do want to mention one thing, kind of spinning off of my last episode and my OCD and what it's like having somebody living in the house with me. You know me well enough to know that I budget everything in my house, from my melt to my, you name it, right? And one thing that you've always given me shit for is I get one garbage bag a week.
Oh, dear God.
As soon as we get done with this tonight, I'm going to put my second garbage bag in a fucking week in the garbage can outside, and it's breaking my fucking heart.
You're so weird.
So, hang on for just a minute. I'll go ahead and say goodnight to everybody, and we'll continue a little bit of side conversation and before I go to bed. And hey, everybody, it's been a pleasure. Again, 11,000 listeners picked right back up where we left off. That's about 50%, about what I I didn't think it would be 3,000 listeners the last episode. So for the other 8,000 listeners that jumped on for another episode of Not Your Cable News, I appreciate it. We will be back. I don't know what day we'll do it this week. A lot of time constraints, whatever. But sometime this week, we will do the next After Dark episode. And be good to each other out there.